When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah. But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn. I am your host today, JClone77. And we are not joined with Mr. E today, but instead he is replaced with Mr. T.
Hey.
Wait, not that Mr. T. The author, the famous author, Michael Thompson.
Yes. Hello. I'm thrilled to be here.
That was my one thing I wanted to get in before.
That was funny.
When I was telling you. Yeah.
So what? That's a good one.
Mr. T. I pity the fool who don't read your books.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm dumb. So today, yes, again, no Mr. E today, but I am to mention while we're here, we are our Kickstarter is at this point of recording 26% funded for our Trinity's Alps Giant Salamander expedition. If you have not seen our Kickstarter video or heard about what we're doing, we are traveling. We plan to travel to the Trinity's Alps in California and rediscover the giant Trinity's Alps giant salamander and put him back on the endangered species list and bring him back from the brink.
Yes.
So that's exciting. So check the links below. You can, there's links to our Kickstarter and you can donate there. Encounter Quest we have coming up. I believe it is April. Let me get the date just right. April 12th, 13th, 14th. Cryptids of the Corner will be your MCs for the event. It's in Hamlet, North Carolina. If you're around the area and you have plans or no plans that weekend, please come out to Encounter Quest. It's going to be a great time. It was so much fun last year, and with us being your host,
I can't wait to find out how to plaster cast from you guys.
Oh, yes. Good touche. Good point. We are running a Friday night, the night before the event starts. Cryptids of the Corn will be hosting a casting class. So if you're ever out in the wild and you come across a strange print, you'll be prepared to take a foot cast or whatever cast print it may have left.
Yeah.
And present the evidence. And then we have our merch in our merch store, cryptidsofthecorn.com. We have a bunch of new t-shirts coming out that just released, like our Teddy
they
Roosevelt.
They look really good.
Yeah. Oh, they look awesome. I love the Teddy Roosevelt one. That one turned out great. I heard there's another one of me in the works, which I'm not looking forward to, but we'll see how that comes out. And then our Patreon, if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon or joined the Corn Cult yet, you know, give us a shot. Check it out. And then right at the end here, just keep Emily and Justin in your prayers. Emily is in the hospital right now. Everything's okay right now, but just keep them in your thoughts and prayers as we move forward. And I think that is it for the intro. So now let's get down to it, Michael.
Okay. So today we're talking about a very cool creature here. One of which that was featured in my brand new book, Winslow Hofner's High Sailing Adventures. And that's the second book in the Winslow Hofner series, which is my folkloric cryptid fantasy series that your readers may have heard of, or if they haven't, they may enjoy. You can find out more at michaelthompsonbooks.com. And we're going to be talking about the Dobarku. Have you ever heard of the Dobarku?
I have not heard of the Dobarku.
It's also called the Irish crocodile.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, Irish. Yeah. We just had St. Paddy's Day recently, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Very fitting.
Yeah. So it is fitting. It's in the air for sure. The Dobarku is also called the Doyarku, the Duragu, the Duragau, the Anku, the Irish crocodile, the master otter,
ooh,
or the king otter. That's right. Surprise. It's not a crocodile.
Aha, it's twist.
Yes, it's a big old otter. In most interpretations of it, in most sightings, at least it would seem. Going back to ancient Ireland, there existed rumors of a bloodthirsty creature, a carnivorous, hound-like monster capable of chasing down its victims and ripping them to shreds on land or in the water. And unlike most cryptids that we are often seen skulking the edge of our known world in solitary fashion, this one hunts in pairs, Jay.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Not a solo hunter, eh?
That's the thing about these guys, as we're going to unravel here. There, if you see one, there's usually another not far behind. So, pretty interesting.
Waiting in the wings, to say.
Literally. The Dobarku is described as either a large, ferocious otter or even a canine fish hybrid, and it's the size of a dog or larger.
Where exactly are these? Or where's the story come from?
Ireland, yes.
Okay.
And specifically, there's different lochs in Ireland. Glenod Loch is one. We've got a little poem here that was featured in Carl Schuker's book, The Beasts That Hide from Man. And this is by an anonymous poet, but it was from the early 1900s, it's estimated.
Okay.
But by Glenod Loch, tradition tells, 200 years ago, a thrilling scene enacted was, to which, as years unflow, old men and women still relate, and while relating dread, some demon of its kind may yet be found within its bed.
Ooh.
This is a really scary cryptid. Most of the encounters with this thing involve some kind of blood.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Yes. but it has some interesting properties to it. It's said that it could be mystical.
Okay.
Yay.
Could
so
be.
In some stories, it has magical properties. It can charge really fast and headbutt boulders in half. It has a pelt that can offer protective properties if you manage to slay it. And so there is some benefit to having a little piece, even an inch of Dobarku flesh on you, as it could protect your ship from sinking, keep your house from falling down, and protect the wearer from any kind of harm.
So it's like a good luck charm.
Yeah, it's like a lucky rabbit's foot in cryptid form.
Okay.
You just need an inch of it. But there's a problem, because it's said that if you do manage to kill it, you will be killed yourself, or you will die at least 24 hours later.
Ooh, so you just need to take a hunk off it and not kill it.
Yeah, I guess.
Just maim it.
I guess. Because it's also said that if it's about to be slain, it'll give off an eerie, piercing shriek, and its mate will soon come to avenge its fallen companion.
Ooh, okay. So yeah, you're toast.
You're toast, yeah. If you even manage to beat one, then there's another one that's just going to come charging out of the lake or river or what have you.
Another one.
And a lot of that's one of the criticisms of this thing. It's so big, and then these lakes are, not so big enough to it's said to support a creature of its size. But these things can book it on land, so it's also been suggested as a refutation of that, that, you know, maybe they're transitory. Maybe they move around quite a lot and they're just booking it everywhere.
How big did you say, mention how big these things were estimated?
It's been described as the size of a dog or larger. Later on, someone described it as like at least the size of a Labrador, if not bigger.
Okay. Yeah. That's a big otter.
It's a big otter, and there's quite a lot of depictions where its legs are a bit too long for an otter, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe that's just a separate phenotype, you know?
No phenotype, yeah. It's certainly possible. What do you think so far?
Well, it's given me vibes of, and I don't even know exactly what this thing is, but a water panther here?
Yeah. That did cross my mind.
Like that when you were describing it, that's why I asked where it was, if it was just in Ireland, because it sounds like something like natives describe here.
But, right, yeah.
But I wonder too if like weren't the mountains in Ireland and, you know, Scotland, that whole area, and the Appalachians at one point the same mountain range?
I don't know.
I was thinking,
like in during Pangea, you mean?
Yeah, like a long, long, like before dinosaurs and all that.
Last week,
right? Yeah, not just last week. Because I know Justin and I have talked about it before, and he, you know, that's one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world, and that might be a reason why, you know, like Appalachians here are so like paranormal heavy. It's just because they have so much history embedded in them, and I wonder, you know, if this is something within history that's like stuck in that mountain range, whether it's a real flesh and blood creature or something more paranormal. I don't know.
That is the question. I've got some encounters here if you want to hear them.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part.
So this one is from 1674 in Loch Mask in County Mayo, Western Ireland. As chronicled in Carl Shuker's The Beast That Hide from Man, we have this description of a bloody encounter with the Irish crocodile, snipped from a 1684 book on West Connacht by Roderick O'Flaherty. And I'm just going to read it as is here.
Okay.
Pardon the archaic language. Here is one rarity more, which we may term the Irish crocodile, whereof one as yet living about 10 years ago had sad experience. The man was passing the shore just by the waterside and spied far off the head of a beast swimming, which he took to have been an otter, and took no more notice of it. But the beast, it seems, there lifted up its head to discern whereabouts the man was, then diving, swam. That's, I guess, a weird past tense of swam with an O.
Oh.
Swam underwater till he struck ground, whereupon he runned out of the water suddenly and took the man by the elbow, whereby the man stooped down and the beast fastened its teeth on his pate. That's his head, as I understand it.
Oh, okay.
He grabbed him by the skull.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. And power dragged move. Him into the, think about the bite, you know, radius. Or whatever you call it, of that.
Right, to wrap around your head.
Ugh. And dragged him into the water, where the man took hold on a stone by chance in his way, and calling to mind he had a knife in his pocket, took it out and gave thrust of it to the beast, which thereupon got away from him into the lake. The water about him was all bloody, whether from the beast's blood or his own, or from both, he knows not. It was the pitch of an ordinary greyhound, of a black slimy skin without hair, as he imagined. Old men acquainted with the lake do tell there is such a beast in it, and that stout fellow with a wolf dog along with him met the like there once, which after a long struggling went away in spite of the man and dog, and was a long time after found rotten in a rocky cave of the lake as the water decreased. The like, they say, is seen in other lakes in Ireland. They call it Dovarku, i.e. a water dog, or Onku, which is the same. So that's what the name translates to.
Water dog?
Yeah, like water hound in Gaelic.
Oh, sweet. I like that that old language, you know, too.
Yeah. Why it makes it a little scarier, doesn't it?
It does. Why did we get away from that?
I don't know. So that's one of the descriptions of the colorations of this thing.
So blimey, slimy and black.
Slimy and dark. This guy said the color of a greyhound.
Okay.
Shuker went on to discuss. So it was described in that encounter as like essentially hairless, it's been sort of discussed that perhaps it was just a short haired creature,
right? And so can
got
wet.
Rather slick in the water.
Yeah,
you know,
because I can see that. I mean, I've seen actual otter or even beaver come up out of the water. And, you know, they're soaked. I mean,
exactly.
You could see that as being shiny, especially if
it's
latched onto your head.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I can't.
I think your otter panther idea is very interesting. I think that or this type of creature would lend a lot of credence to those water panther stories.
Yeah.
That's what you would need is a big otter type thing to fulfill a lot of what these stories tell about water panthers.
It sounds similar, at least. I mean, I don't know exactly. I still don't know what a water panther. I've seen the water panther stone down in Point Pleasant, Ohio. They have one of those at that's the Mothman town, basically, where the Mothman Museum and all that stuff happened. But they have a Chief Cornstalk's grave there, and right beside it, they have a water panther stone. You can't tell what that thing is. I mean, they tell you what it is, but... you can't actually picture it in your head without, if I was looking at it, I would have never guessed, oh, water panther or even giant otter until they tell you. But at least the stories behind them, from what we've discussed them a little bit, but not much. But yeah, it just sounds very similar, at least. A lot of overlap. Maybe they fulfill the same niche.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of stones, I have another encounter for you. And this will later involve stones.
Oh, okay.
This is possibly the most famous encounter of the beast, and the most famous interpretation, I should also say, of the Dabarku in coloration is usually that it's white, actually, and that it has stripes, and it even very distinctly would have a black cross pattern on its back.
Oh, okay.
And so that's sort of the description that you would see the most. And this encounter with a woman named Grace Connolly in 1722 is probably the most famous Dobarku encounter.
Okay.
This is in Glenod, in fact. This is where that poem that we read earlier takes place from Lake Glenod. And there's a few different details of this depending on the tale that you read. But this is the story of Grace Connolly. The story goes that on September 22nd, 1722, a woman named Grace Connolly was either washing her clothes or bathing in a lake in County Antrim called Glenod Loch when she was attacked by a massive beast bursting from the surface of the water. Shortly thereafter, her concerned husband, Terence, came upon her half-eaten corpse.
Oh,
beside the beast known as the Dobarku at the water's edge. So she took a while to return home, and he got a little worried, and he goes out, and when he finds her by the lake, she's been half-eaten, and this thing is over her.
Not how you want to find your spouse.
No. Terence, enraged and heartbroken, slays the creature. He stabs it, or shoots it with a rifle, depending on the story. But... with its dying breath, it gasps out this whistling, blood-curdling screech.
Uh-oh.
Into the lake.
I know what that means.
You know what that means. It's summoning its partner.
Right.
As soon as it does that, a second Dobarku comes lunging from the lake. Same coloration, same size, same everything. And Terence and his brother or a friend, again, depending on the story, they flee on horseback. But then they either double back or they wait for the monster to catch up. The details get a bit foggy here. And at a more opportune time, they sort of ambush the creature. They set upon it again and successfully stab it to death.
Oh, nice.
Yes. There's another version of the story where the horse actually gets up and runs and like leaves its rider there. to face it alone. And in that version of the story, he has to face it like as soon as the second otter comes up. But yeah, that's the great irony there. The horse ran away to a village called Garinard, and its name means bad horse.
Was it named that before or after this story?
I believe after.
Okay, that'd make a lot more sense.
Named after the abandoning horse.
Yeah, I mean, what do you blame him though? There's a debarque coming after you. I would have ran.
Yeah, probably was a good idea. But this husband, he went full John Wick on this otter. And so to avenge his wife, he takes out the first otter. But then the second otter, to avenge its partner, goes after the guy.
Right.
And then thankfully for Terrence, Terrence McLaughlin is believed to be his name, he managed to get the upper hand, which apparently is quite a rare feat when facing a Dobarku.
He must be a tough warrior. He's probably got some history or legends written about him besides this one.
Certainly. What do you think about this encounter?
So, I mean, entirely different pattern, I guess, or color.
Right.
But same old behaviors, you know. I'm glad he was able to get the upper hand, though, so we can at least hear the story. But I wonder what made these guys different, you know, with having that different color pattern on them. You know, I wonder if it was completely different creatures.
There's been, interestingly enough, and there's like one other thing I'll go into. They each seem to have different patterns. This is probably the most common, or at least the most famous and distinct, with this cross-shaped stripes on the back, and mostly white. Mm-hmm. And in most versions of the story, you'll find that it was a white creature, pale creature, with the stripes and then black tipped ears and this black cross.
It's like a lemur, it sounds like, or something.
Yeah, kind of. Zaboomafoo. Yeah.
He's not, yeah, that's the friendly version. They've changed over time.
But what would you tell me, Jay? If I told you, what would you say if there was some perhaps evidence left over from this particular encounter?
Oh, okay. Now that's interesting.
Does he have a patch? Something in concrete, set in stone detail, you could say.
Ooh, is there actually like, I don't know, something like a footprint in concrete?
not a footprint, but just that Grace Connolly herself on her gravestone has a picture of the beast carved into it.
Really?
Yes.
Can you find pictures
of that?
I
have a picture here. I can just kind of show it to you.
No way.
We've got
okay.
two. So these are two, and these are actually quite easy to find if your listeners want to have a multimedia experience and look this up.
What would they search? Grace Connolly, like tombstone?
Grace Connolly, tombstone, Dobarku, perhaps. And if you'll look on your side of the screen here, Jay, you'll see Grace Connolly is this one.
Yeah.
And we have the creature, and its head is sort of craned all the way backward, sort of lying flat on its spine there. There's a little shape coming off of it. And this is actually a hand holding a dagger or some type of spearing weapon.
Okay.
That's slashing the neck of the creature.
Gotcha. Okay.
You can see that the legs are kind of long and like wolf-like.
Right, yeah, in the back there.
And it's a little hard to see here, but the tail is kind of tufted.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I can see that.
So when I saw that initially, I was like, you know, that's quite canine. You know, could it have just been a wolf? But looking closely at the head is quite small and it doesn't quite have that houndy snout that you would expect with
right.
a wolf.
Yep.
And you know, there were wolves in Ireland back in the day, and they were known creatures. So
they would have just known if it was a wolf. Yeah,
I would assume, and I would assume that would be the story. Rather than the Dobarku.
Right.
But we have the other gravestone of Terence. There he is riding his horse.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And he's got the weapon that he used to slay the beast with.
Which was
some type of knife, some type of dagger.
Okay.
He's holding that. Some type of stabby weapon. But there he is. So maybe the horse didn't abandon him if he got, you know,
it's picture.
He got honored in the stone as well.
Well, yeah, but who's going to, I mean, his reputation lives on with that town name, though, so.
That's true. It's one of the two.
That's a bit more powerful than the tombstone.
Was he a good horse or a bad horse?
Right, yeah. The court of public opinion says bad.
Yeah, so I think this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's physical evidence of, like, why would you put something on there if it didn't actually exist, I guess?
Yeah.
Unless you're like a storyteller or story writer,
sure.
And this is your creature. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there was any mention of any of that, you know, about her being an author or something or an entertainer.
Mm-hmm. The paws are also really big on this creature carved into the stone here, which would probably maybe suggest like webbing, you know, like big
yeah.
paws made for swimming. So I kind of see that, but they are quite long for an otter, the legs.
But I think otters have those web hands, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they're very, what's the word? They're very good with their dexterous.
Yeah, they're dexterous. Yeah.
Because I've watched them.
They use tools and stuff.
I watched them last summer when I went fishing up in Minnesota. We had this little family of otters that lived, I had to live right around where our cabin was. And when we'd take the fish cuts out at night, they would usually trail along, but it was like a mom and three of her kids. And she would grab like the biggest hunk of fish, swim it, and you could watch the whole thing. They're, you know, 30, 40 feet from you, if not closer. She'd grab the whole chunk, swim it underwater over to where her kids were, come up on the rock, and then like lay the fish out. They'd make like this weird clicking noise.
Yeah.
And the three little babies would come running right up onto the shore and they just start tearing this thing apart. And then mm-hmm. she'd leave and go get some more or something and come back. But it was pretty cool to see. But yeah, they would, and they were small. It's not like, you know, obviously the babies were small, but the mom, it's not something I would ever want to get tangled up with because
No.
Like, yeah, they were manipulating that fish around like it was nothing, but then they were just tearing it to shreds like it was nothing.
Yeah, they are predators, you know, and they are certainly quite capable predators. And you could only imagine what something the size of a wolf would be able to do to you.
Oh, yeah. Tear you right up.
Tear you right up. Drag you away. And so after that, you know, you wonder, is there any modern sightings of this thing, or is this just ancient stories?
Uh-huh.
I wonder.
I'm hoping it's just ancient, but I have a feeling.
They're still around, Jay.
I knew it.
I found some just a little bit. So this is from Carl Schuker's blog.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read these three little blocks here. The most significant recent sighting took place during April to May of 2003 on Omi Island in Connemara County, Galway, and featured Waterford artist Sean Cochran and his wife. Omi contains two freshwater lakes and is accessible on foot when the tide is out. Sean and his wife were camping on Omi near to Fay Loch, the larger of its two lakes. When around 3 a.m. one morning, they were alerted to a strange yelping cry coming from the sand dunes at the lake's western side. Armed with a torch, they set out to investigate and encountered, just 2 to 3 yards away, an animal described by Sean as being larger than his pet Labrador dog. The creature speedily swam across the lake to its furthest side, where when it emerged, clambered onto a large rock and reared up onto its hind legs. In this pose, it was estimated by Sean to be around 5 feet tall.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, this is actually a pose that otters take when they're trying to get a vantage. Like they can sort of rear up and get straight and periscope.
Kind of like a prairie dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll see otters do this type of thing, apparently. And so that's perfect otter behavior right there. In this pose, it was estimated to be around 5 feet tall. Incredible. And was observed to be dark in overall color, but sporting orange-red flipper-like feet.
Hmm.
Yeah. It then turned away and disappeared into the darkness, leaving Sean and his wife to return to their tent, thoroughly bemused by what they had seen.
Interesting. But it didn't have the white fur, right? This one.
No, it didn't have the white and the stripes, like the badger sort of decoration that the classic Debarco has.
Didn't think about that.
These modern sightings here, they've got these orange feet and they're dark.
Hmm. Well, you know, they got to adapt to the times. Now, people were looking for the black and white thing.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, this is a whole new creature now. That's what they're going under that guy's. Yeah. Sliding under the radar.
Sure. We've got a little drawing of the monster here if you want to see it. This is an old drawing of this particular.
So it's got
see the long legs, the kind of long neck.
Yeah.
Dark color.
And like that short, fat tail kind. Well, not short, but, you know, it's not long like a cat, but it's short like a, I don't know, kind of like a dog, I guess, but thick tail. Really thick.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty. So what year was that? Did that take place?
2003.
So very 20 years ago, 21 now.
Mm-hmm.
Very recent. Okay. I wonder if that could, I wonder if there's any other animal that could be responsible for that. But, or what if it was just a giant otter?
Well, that's an interesting, we can go into explanations if you want.
Unless you got more stories.
No, I mean, I've got, apparently someone has a taxidermy.
No way.
Yes, but it hasn't been like thoroughly investigated, you know. So I was just gonna sort of mention this in passing. There's this guy.
Okay.
And this is in a pub called like Heine Bar. And apparently as of 2020 it's still there. But as far as my research goes, no one's like plucked a hair from it or looked at it. It's 4.5 feet long.
That's pretty big.
And it's dark and it has the tuftier tail than otters are known to have, and its legs are a little bit longer.
Hmm. I wonder if that is like an authentic piece, or if it's, you know, a creation, a taxidermist creation. It looks pretty dang real, though.
Yeah, it's in County Mayo, across Molina.
This is all Ireland still.
Yeah, this is Ireland. It's an Irish creature, and
There have been other sightings. I heard rumblings of like Scottish water hounds as well. But in terms of these Irish otters, they seem to be, you know, all over the place, and they got these different names.
I mean, water hound just sounds frightening.
It sounds pretty frightening. Yeah, I mean,
Do you have any water hounds? Did Winslow Hofner encounter any?
Well, the DeBarcu itself does make an appearance in.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, I chose the sort of badger like striped decoration, the pale otter, the big hound sized one. And Winslow, at a certain point in the book, is sort of captured by some bad guys. This is in his younger years, and he encounters kind of this underground bad sort of cryptid dog fighting situation, and the Dobarkus are involved, are made to fight for, you know, the entertainment of the villains,
right?
You know?
They're the pit bulls of the
exactly
underground cryptid fighting ring.
Exactly. We've got them and an Icelandic what in the book I call an Icelandic sea wolf. It's true name, it means shell monster, but it's Skellige Crimsley, I think, is the pronunciation, and so the Dobarku are fighting that. So we've got the Irish crocodiles and the Icelandic sea wolves, yeah, being made to fight and bite at each other.
I guess I'd pay to get one of those tickets. I'm curious enough to know who would win at least.
Mm. Buy the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's an interesting situation for sure, and So that's kind of the situation with those characters. It's pretty cool, and it gets a little bit more Celtic in that book overall. So that's why we're sort of drifting. We got the Dobarku, we've got the Afonk, and other creatures like that. Cool Celtic creatures. But in terms of explanations for the Dobarku,
yes, okay.
Let's get into that. Did you want to throw in anything first before I go down this list?
Well, I'm still sticking to my whatever the water panther is.
Or I love that. Yeah, supposed to be. I think that that's interesting.
I just think for some reason that's what first popped in my head. I don't know why it was another cryptid creature, like using a cryptid to explain a cryptid.
Oh yeah, situation. Well, I love that. But I think that sort of looking at water panthers in general as if they have otter origins would make a lot of sense. You scale up an otter, and yeah, that would be a water panther for sure.
And yeah, I mean, otters are so agile in the water. You know, I guess any marmot or small mammal that lives half its life in the water, it should be pretty nimble in the water. But otters are pretty proficient. They're a decent size too, but I mean, not as big as a Dobarku, but just even a bigger one, I can imagine, it's only going to be a little bit better. Like beaver are so, when they're on land, it just seems like they can't move around as easy. But once they're in water, I mean, they scoot around, they shuffle around pretty good.
Right.
But with these guys, I mean, it sounds like they're pretty good on land too. So
yeah, they can book it.
Not a beaver.
We can rule that out.
Yeah.
Definitively.
But I don't know exactly, besides otter, I can't think of another animal that this might fall under.
Well, let's talk about the otter situation. A large unknown otter,
yeah,
perhaps. Perhaps similar to the giant river otter from South America.
Okay.
They live in the Amazon. They can get up to 6 feet long.
Giant. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a known species of otter. This is like nose to tail. 6 feet long. And as far as we know, that's the biggest otter in the world.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what's in that bar.
I don't think it doesn't quite look like it. You know, they've got if you look these things up, they got this sort of particular coloration, white patch here, and then but they are mostly dark brown, it would seem.
Okay.
And even they kind of drift into kind of a reddish in some areas. But they're, you know, they're vicious. They're apex predators.
It wouldn't happen to be their feet that turns red, is it?
Maybe sunburn. Or actually, in Ireland, that wouldn't make sense, would it?
Well, yeah, I don't think so, or else everyone there would already be sunburned.
It's true. Don't I know it, man. I've got that Celtic complexion.
You and me both.
I burn pretty easily.
I'm whiter than sour cream.
Nice Weird Al reference.
Yep, you caught it.
Yeah. So, what about a seal?
Ooh, some sort of, what are those, pinnipeds?
Yeah, a pinniped.
Hmm. But the hands and the feet and the rearing, well, the rearing up, I mean, I've seen seals do that. Stand up on end, but they're kind of like dog-like faces, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
And that would account for the sleek, slimy sort of look that some of them had, right? The earliest Irish crocodile account.
True, yeah.
The greyhound coloration.
Because seals do have short fur, but they look wet and slimy, but they're...
Yeah.
It's just the wetness, I guess.
Yeah, and it would account for the fish-canine hybrid sort of talks. But, you know... Looking at that carving on the gravestone.
That's not a seal.
That's not a seal. They got long legs. And that fluffy tail too.
Oh yeah. So seal out.
Well, speaking of long legs, what if it's just a swimming wolf?
Just a different like a water wolf, like
yeah.
That grew to adapt or its niche became in the water.
Yeah, I mean, the last Irish wolf was killed in 1786, and there do exist types of wolves that swim and eat seafood.
Oh.
So, for instance, the Vancouver coastal sea wolf, that swims around. It's apparently genetically distinct from what I understand.
Hmm, and it eats seafood.
It eats seafood, yeah. It loves it.
A pescatarian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like it.
It would be a proper sea hound.
It would be.
Mm-hmm.
So these are sea hounds already exist. Oops, sorry, I cut out there. Sea hounds already exist, huh?
Yeah, they basically do. The Vancouver coastal sea wolf.
Wow. Okay. What about not sea monkeys, but like the sea? Wasn't there like a sea, like a water monkey or water?
Stellar sea ape.
Yeah, like a sea ape. Yeah,
I mean, I think that was kind of a pinniped too. I think the name was just sort of colloquial.
Okay.
But it was described as like it didn't have the sort of front flippers.
Okay.
It was like just sort of like just had the back flippers, at least from what could be seen.
So a mermaid.
Well, it had kind of a dogish head too, and like a mustache.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It's a funny guy.
It's an ugly
mermaid. Questions about whether it was, you know, legit or not, or if he was like just having a laugh, but
yeah, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna discredit him though? I mean, come on, back then.
I can't call to mind any aquatic primates, besides, you know, mer beings. Can you?
Right, yeah. I mean, I thought there was something that was like a primitive, I don't know. Ape, monkey, hominid, I don't know, that spent a lot of its time in the water on the coast or something, but I may be getting that confused with something else. I do that.
Imagine like a swimming, like something like a baboon, you know, that would be scary.
Yeah, it would be.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of scary, what if it is just something supernatural?
Mm. That's why, honestly, when that white and black one, that seemed... like it could be to me for some reason, but if it's
flush, it has a cross on it too.
Yeah, which is just odd. I mean, but I guess I could see that pattern in nature, I suppose.
There's strange patterns in nature. I can see it.
Yeah. But with its, you know, its shriek for its partner, I mean, it's like they're working in tandem. Is that really two things like that? Are that connected or is it that's still that same kind of entity? There's just...
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are stories of this thing with a strange connection to the werewolf myth that you can only kill it with a silver bullet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Kind of interesting.
And then it's good luck fur patch, too.
Yeah.
That's a little supernatural on top of it.
However, Grace Connolly's husband was able to just stab the thing to death, so that kind of puts that to rest, if that story is to be believed.
Right, true, yeah. So it brings it back into the flesh and blood a little bit.
Yeah.
But did he save any of the fur? Or two, did he meet his demise shortly after?
I don't think it was shortly after.
So maybe he didn't keep the fur. That's why he was safe. You got to bury the thing and return it to Earth.
From everything that I've heard, I kind of think that this is still in the realm of Otter. Mm-hmm. And I think any, all of the supernatural stuff could just be, you know, aggrandizement.
Right.
I mean, there's other stories that it could command like an army of 100 regular sized otters and stuff.
That would be frightening.
That would be cool.
The Otter King.
Yeah, the Otter King. That's what they call. That's why they call it that. The King Otter. But in very recent years, a new species of otter has been discovered, a prehistoric species of otter, Jay. In 2017, in the Journal of Systematic Paleontology, findings were published of a new species of prehistoric otter named Siamagale melaleutra. And its name melaleutra comes from melis, meaning badger, and lutra, meaning otter.
Aha. Uh-huh.
A badger otter.
Which would explain the white stripes?
Well, I don't know if it determines its coloration, but I do like that connection. The it's mostly from its teeth that it sort of derived that name. Its skull and teeth had blended characteristics. It lived 6.24 million years ago in the Yunnan province of China, weighed approximately 110 pounds.
Oh.
And was roughly the size of a modern wolf.
Okay. So a badger otter is even more scary.
Badger otter, it would be scary. Listen to this. Denise Su, PhD, says, the reason why we chose these names and combined them together is because the species has a mix of characteristics of both these animals and its skull and its teeth. And the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles paleontologist Xiaoming Wang explains, it has the skull of an otter but shares many dental similarities with badgers, which is why we called it melaleutra, which is Latin for badger otter.
Hmm. Okay.
From the Smithsonian Magazine, the fossil otter is larger than all living otters. This is according to Wang. Yet, although many meat-eating mammals evolve larger sizes to tackle bigger prey, Wang says he expects that the size of Siamagale owes to a different cause. The mammal's teeth hint that Siamagale was a mollusk eater, Wang points out, similar to modern sea otters. But while sea otters use rocks to crack open their hard-shelled food, it's unlikely that Siamagale did the same. Quote, perhaps our fossil otter has not learned to use rocks and instead applied brute strength to crush hard shells. So
just
this one
it.
Didn't use tools. It just, its jaws were just that strong. Yeah. Positing.
Huh.
It just crushed things.
Right. Didn't need the tools.
Didn't need them.
It was the tool.
Yes, it was the right tool for the job.
Huh. So, okay. So we got, you know, this sounds very similar to the Dobarku.
It does.
Hmm. So, okay. What if the Dobarku then is just a long lost, you know, on the brink of extinction animal that's just still somehow hanging on in the shadows? It could be something like that. It could be, what if it slipped through like a time slip from way back, you know, when, and it's here now?
That's, ooh.
And maybe that's, you know, once you go through a time slip, you automatically get mystical powers and abilities. I think that just comes with the territory. So
wow.
I think I'm definitely not adding lore here, but
hey, that's I like that lore though. Keep going.
I'm just trying to make it fit and work.
I think you've successfully combined all of them.
See, yeah, what if back then like the world was different and things just had different abilities? So when it comes right. through a time slip, those abilities come with it, and it's just we don't understand. It's like, oh,
this is good stuff for my books, man. I'm taking notes.
Is it magical and paranormal, or is that the norm back then?
Ah, maybe.
Yeah.
They could alter reality, shape the world. I think I really like this badger otter explanation, or something like that, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of blends with the already unknown, you know, giant otter. And, you know, who knows, maybe someday someone will take a close look at that taxidermy in County Mayo and pluck a hair and see what's up.
I would be curious to see. I mean, just even anatomy alone, like I would like even someone like Justin, Mr. E, to take a look at the taxidermy and just see if like, okay, is this anatomically correct? Is this even, does this even make sense? Does the animal look real? Does it look like a recreation? He'll probably look at it and be like, oh no, that's, you know, that's a rabbit from, you know, Scandinavia for, I can tell by it, the pattern around its ear.
Could be, yeah. We need Mr. E to take a look at this taxidermy. that's what I got for you as far as the Dobarku goes. It's a cool cryptid. I like it a lot. I think that it's completely biologically reasonable.
Yeah.
And clearly we have examples of modern otters that are quite large, and in the past wolf-sized otters in the badger otter.
Right, yeah. I mean, I can't rule this one out as being like story, you know, just a story or just a folklore or even a hoax or anything. You know, I like to believe that most of the stuff that we talk about in the show is real or was real at some point. This is one of the ones I'm, you know, putting in the category of probably was real. Like in my head, I'm
kind of the same. Cause
I think it actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah. But either way, it is a marvelous marine mystery.
Oh, I like it. An MMM. All right. Well, I think that's probably a good spot to end it, don't you think?
I think so. I think that we covered some good stuff here. I like the Dobarku, and I too think that it just might have been out there.
I'm with you on that. I agree. So I've been JClone77.
And I am Michael Thompson.
You want to promote any of your books again real
quick? Check out the Winslow Hofner series on michaelthompsonbooks.com. Check out my Instagram at mthompson_books for all sorts of cool cryptid stuff, and find us at some cool upcoming cryptid festivals, both of us. I too will be at Encounter Quest, and I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a fun time.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I think that's the next time we'll be seeing each other in person.
Most definitely. I'll have all the Winslow books. I'll have the audiobook as well, which is now on Kobo. So you can check that out at the top of my website, michaelthompsonbooks.com. Listen to the trailer and hear all the cool voices. I do all the voices in the audiobook.
Oh, that makes
sense.
And
I'll have that in hard copy as well at the festivals we mentioned.
Oh, good. So that's Encounter Quest, April 12th, 13th, and 14th in Hamlin, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see you guys there. So
for sure.
Until the next time, bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.